Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of our locations and everybody watching online. Man, it is awesome to be able to come here and be able to wrap up this series, My Own Monsters. If you've missed any part of it, I'd recommend that you go back, because in this conversation, we're talking about how to have healthy relationships with others, also have healthy relationship with God. But there's monsters that get in the way. And one of them starts with even relationships. How do you have good relationships, healthy relationships, but then also fear. Fear becomes a monster that keeps you from doing that. And then we're also going to talk about today, forgiveness. Now, you all just went, wrong Sunday to come to church. Because when I talk about forgiveness, I get it. There is a weightiness. There is so much that is attached to this. Because some of you may have come in today and you're going, I don't want to talk about this. But spouse and I not doing well today. Family's not doing well today. Like, you could just name it. And it's like, and there's some deep ones of like, I'm struggling to forgive myself, struggling to forgive my past. Like, we've got all of that. So when you talk about forgiveness, there's just having this, but what we do with it matters. I mean, science will back this up on so many levels. When you learn to forgive people, it starts to eliminate so many of the stress and just so many of those things that cause us health issues. But I want to go at it from a different angle today, because I want you to see that there might be, maybe shed a new light on it, or maybe add some more weight to it than it has. And I want to start in a different place. I want you to think of this phrase, the it factor. All of you have probably seen it, experienced it, read about it, whatever, in some kind of capacity. And when I talk about the it factor, it's think of that person, think of that group, or even you can go in this context, a church, and you go, sometimes you've been to a church and you're like, man, they have it. You've gone to another church and you're like, they don't have it. And you're just kind of like, it's just it. And it's hard to describe. There's even times when, you know, you're singing songs and maybe you're looking around the room and you're like, that person seems like they have it. That person looks like they're bored out of their mind. You know, like that is what I'm talking about. But on a different weight to this, to where you're going, maybe there's that person you look up to who is just that spiritual, dynamic person that you go, man, they just have it. And so when you talk about it, I want us to understand maybe there's a connection with forgiveness that I want you to be aware of. Now, to give you just a story that helps us go like, okay, so put a little bit more context to this. I remember, it's been 15 years being part of Fountain Springs, okay? So I was here when it was 140 people on a Sunday, and then to see what it's become even now. And, you know, we've had pastors come to us, people like, hey, what is it? Like, what are you doing? What's the secret sauce? And I'm like, I don't really have a great answer for that besides, well, it's God. And they're like, okay, but no, tell us the real details. And I'm like, no, that's all I can say. You may not like my answer, but it's a pretty good answer. But I remember there was a moment that I was like, okay, now that is part of it. Because what happened was something I never thought I would have to deal with in church. Like, I thought I might deal with it in my personal life, but never thought I'd have to deal with a moment when the church got robbed. Let me tell you, they don't teach you that in school. There's not a look through the syllabus of pastoring and go, hey, here's the little session on how to deal with it when your church gets robbed. That's not covered in seminary. I'll just tell you that, all right? But I remember that feeling and watching, like, I was a youth pastor at the time, coming into the church and being like, hearing the news and being like, yep, I used to have video game consoles here. They're all gone. Other stuff, computers, guitars, gone. And if you've had stuff stolen from you, that whole safety feeling, that whole, like, just feeling violated, all that emotion, and you thought, man, this is the one place I didn't think I'd have to think about that. But it was in that moment where I got to watch Pastor David just lead us as a church, lead us as a staff through a difficult time. Because you got all the emotions connected with that. And then it turns out you actually know the person who did it because they were coming to our church. And you're like, oh, it makes it that much more. But a few months later, there was a moment where all kind of like, God, what are you doing with this? Because we have a prison ministry, and prison ministry, we meet within the prison, we do groups, all that kind of stuff. And this guy showed up to one of our groups. And it happened to be the night that Pastor David was there. And so he's telling me the story, and I'm like, ooh, you gotta tell me all the details of this. Like, how'd that go down? You know? He's kind of described it. He's like, hey, you walked in, we locked eyes, kind of that moment of like, ooh, are you gonna say something? Should I say something? All that kind of stuff. But they didn't say anything at the beginning. They let the group go, and by the end of it, he just comes up to this guy and goes, I'm so happy you're here. So happy you're working through this. And for me, that was like a transformational moment of like, that's what it means to be it. That's what the church should be. And when it starts to take that on, you start to see things happen that you're like, whoa, God, this is so good. But it's not an easy road. Give you an example in the scriptures, because Jesus talks about these kind of moments, and he puts more details into it. Look at this in John 20, 19 through 21. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, I want to pause here, give it a little bit more context, because that just, some words like, okay, they're hiding. You got to add some more layers to that. Because they're hiding for multiple reasons. One, they're scared they're going to die. Their leader, Jesus, just got killed by the Jewish leaders, and now they're wondering what's going to happen to us. On top of that, the last moment they had with Jesus, they all deserted him. And Peter's in there going, and I kind of denied him three times, so I'm not doing too well either, all right? And now there's these rumors that maybe Jesus is alive and he's walking around, and some of the disciples are like, no, I've seen him. And others are like, no, you haven't. You're crazy. Like, they're in this room. Just feel the weight of this. There is confusion. There is hurt. There is, can I forgive myself? There's all of that in this room hiding. So I want you to picture whatever you brought in today of just going, all right, that's my room, this dark room. I'm scared to go deal with this. I'm scared to acknowledge it, but it has to do a lot with forgiveness, forgiving other people, forgiving yourself. The disciples are sitting in that. And Jesus knows this. So look what he says to them. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Love that. Just on, boop, I'll just show up right now. Yeah, okay. They're already scared. Now they're scared more, but in a good way. But peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You just read those few verses and you're like, oh, that's a cool moment. But you got to see how profound this is. They were stuck. They were lost. They were confused. And Jesus' first thing is to say, I'll come with peace. Now hear this. When we're in the midst of struggling to forgive, we're also desperate for peace. I've talked to many who are dealing with a marriage that's falling apart, family who's falling apart, and what they desperately want is, I would just love to have peace. So catch this. Disciples struggling to find that. And what does Jesus offer? Peace. And let me describe it even more detail. He's going, hey, your sins are forgiven. Your slavery to sin is broken. Your fears and cares are taken by me, and your life is settled for eternity. And he's like, I need you to own that though. You've got to put the my part in there. Because that's when you start to experience peace, when you start to understand the forgiveness. Because he's like, I went to the cross, I died, and I raised from the grave so that you could have peace. And so they're filled with joy, but they're just like, whoa, this is crazy. God, I'm so glad you're here. And he's working on them like, you need to understand the layers that are going on here. There's such a bigger miracle happening. You are forgiven for all the past, present, and future. That's the peace I'm giving you. And I love this quote by a theologian. I just thought it was so well said. He had faced, talking about Jesus, he had faced and defeated all the forces which destroy the peace of man. Oh, so good. And as he said it, peace be with you, he was doing infinitely more than expressing a wish. He was making a declaration. He was bestowing the benediction. He was imparting a blessing. So for some of you, I want you to hear this. Jesus is walking into your dark room where you're scared, where you're confused, and you're struggling to forgive, and he's going, I'm giving you a blessing of peace. And I have the power to do that. Because I brought the power of forgiveness into this conversation. It's a beautiful thing when we start to understand that God's first step with us when we're struggling is going, I'm bringing you peace. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to walk with it? But Jesus didn't stop there. He tells his disciples, hey, I bring you peace. Here's the next part of it though. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This kind of turns a page. He's like, now, okay, I've given you peace, but here's the next part of it. If you have learned to accept that, you've learned to take that on, what I've done for you, now I've given you authority to forgive. So what you do with that forgiveness matters. Who you choose to forgive, I will forgive. Who you choose not to forgive, I will not forgive. That's got some weight behind it. Now, some of you are like, I kind of like that. That sounds good. Some power there. This is good. Just kidding. But seriously, the disciples, I think, recognize the moment. They go, we've got this peace because of Jesus, but he's also giving something to us, this authority with forgiveness. What's crazy is that in the next few weeks, months, there becomes a moment to where the disciples get to put this into action. Because they are standing at kind of a general area of the city, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit becomes on a bunch of people. We know it as Pentecost. If you read your Bible, Acts 2, this is the moment I'm describing. There's all these people speaking in different languages, but everybody can understand it. But some people are like, they're crazy, they sound drunk, they sound all these kind of things. And the disciples are watching all this happen, and they're going, wait, I think I've seen this before. Remember when we were in that dark room and Jesus met us there? I think people are experiencing the same thing. And so they go, we've got to tell them about forgiveness. We've got to share this moment with them. We have to. And so Peter steps up, and if you read it in Acts 2, he gives this forgiveness message, and then he finishes it with these words. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The disciples take it, and they had this authority, and so they shared it with somebody, this whole group of people. And you know what happened? An it moment. That day, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Forgiveness was rampant because the disciples took Jesus' peace and said, now we have authority with it. We need to bring it to other people. They could have decided not to do anything with it, but they chose in that moment. God's given us this authority. We need to act on it. And that catches, he's given it to us as well. So when it comes to the it factor, I want to give just a simple definition. Here's what it is. It's announcing and offering God's forgiveness as the Holy Spirit leads us. That's the power. That's the authority. And so sometimes you're crazy, like, man, I'd love to experience it. And God's going, you can. God wants you to experience it so you experience the transforming power that he has. God wants you to experience it within your marriage. God wants you to experience it within your family. God wants you to experience it within your church and your community. That's what God wants. And he's given us the authority to do it, but it's all about what we do with forgiveness. And if you want to hear even more, the scriptures talks about this a lot. Look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Jesus gets done explaining, here's how you should pray, but then he finishes with this moment. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So I walk through all this to hopefully add some depth, add some weight to this, because here's what the ultimate crux of this sermon is. Forgiveness offers us peace. Unforgiveness feeds a monster. When we choose to forgive, we start to experience some things that are just like, God, thank you, I needed that. I needed to work through that. You start to experience a freedom. Unforgiveness starts to create more of a monster in your life. To where now you're trying to control things. Now you're trying to make sure you don't get hurt again. And those things start to become monsters that turn into control and fear and all these things that we don't want in our lives. And so that's the question, is like, what are you doing with forgiveness? Now I want to give you an example of someone who didn't handle it well. And Jesus shared this parable And so as I read this, I simply want you to hear his words. Picture Jesus just sharing this parable with us right now. As we're trying to understand forgiveness, he goes, let me share a story with you. So this is in Matthew 18, 21 through 34. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell at his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. You shouldn't have had mercy on your fellow servants. You should have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Give you a little bit more context to that, because you hear 10,000 bags of gold, 100 things of silver. You're like, okay, what does all that mean? The 10,000 bags of gold, at that time, Jesus is trying to make an exaggerated point. That would be like owing a debt of millions, billions, whatever number you want to put on there that seems way out of reach. When he's speaking to this audience and not speaking to us, he's giving us that number that's like, that's a number. Here's the deal. It's a debt that can never be fully repaid. You could try your whole life, but you're never going to make it back. And so you have that, and then you have the servant who goes and goes, hey, you owe me some, what would you put in, hundreds, maybe $1,000? And you see his response. And so here's the one thing you've got to recognize. In this story, God is making a point. This is like the kingdom of heaven. The master is God. The servant represents us, humanity, and how we treat other people. And so here's the one thing I want you to recognize. God forgave us for a debt we can never pay back. That's the point Jesus was making in this. He's like, God forgave you for something you can never pay back. Your sins, your punishment for that is death. Your mistakes, all of it. None of us are perfect. All of your sin, the way you would pay that back is you die. That's it. Nothing else. That's how God's justice works. But then he said, hey, I don't want that. I want a relationship with humanity. And so what does he do? He sends his son. And Jesus says, I'll take all the debt. I'll take everybody's debt, all the sins, past, current, future, covered them all, carried all that to the cross and says, that's the debt I will take on. And he says, and you won't be able to pay it back. That's the forgiveness God was offering to us. So then you got to recognize unforgiveness. When we say, I'm not willing to forgive somebody, it reveals this. We don't value God's forgiveness. We're saying, God, I hear you, but man, you don't know this situation. What they've done is worse than what you covered for me. And God's like, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I gave up my life so that you could have life for forever. I covered sins that you could never cover. So we got to be careful. Sometimes we compare the things of this world to the spiritual world, and they are not the same. We are comparing billions to thousands. And so that's the part we've got to recognize. And I know for me, personally, I've struggled with this because sometimes when it comes to unforgiveness, I have this, my biggest struggle was forgiving myself. Because I knew God had went to church, of trying to be a good kid, all that kind of stuff. And I heard, God had died for me. God did this for me. And I was like, man, that's awesome. God, I appreciate that. But here's the deal. I'm going to try to live such a good life that I was worth dying for. Any of you ever played this game? Played it for too many years, okay? Still days where I struggle with it. And so you try, you got to live this up, you try to do all this stuff. And so whenever you fail, whenever you feel like things aren't going the way you want to, what do you struggle with? Forgiving yourself, because you're the one that messed it up. And God's going, this is not how this works. You cannot make it up. There's nothing you can do here on this world that will make up for the sin that I've covered. I want you to live a good life, but not because you're trying to prove something to me. I want you to live a good life because you are loved and you are forgiven. But I was like, no, 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 God, I want to control it. I like controlling it. That was my monster. That's what came out of this unforgiveness. So I wanted to control what God was doing in my life. And some of you, it's different things. But when you do that, you create your own prison. Whether it's someone that's hurt you and is like, God, you don't understand what they did to me. And God's going, I understand a lot of sin in this world because I covered it all. And so that's the part that I want us to recognize is maybe the reason we're struggling with forgiveness is because we don't understand the grace and mercy and forgiveness that was shown to us. And that becomes a dangerous place to live. And that's what he's trying to teach the disciples. Like, stop staying in this dark room scared. Stop staying in this dark room confused. Maybe learn to look at forgiveness in a different light. And hear me, let me be clear. Forgiveness is letting go of judgment. It does not mean, because some of us have some bad theology on this, it does not mean that you forget it all. It does not mean that everything's okay. But it is in this moment going, God, I don't have control over anymore over this, but you do. And God, as much as I would like to sit on your throne and tell you how the world should work and tell you how these people should pay and tell you how I think I should be doing life, truth is, you're God, I'm not. And so you've got to let go of that judgment. That's what forgiveness is, to where you are humble enough to recognize, God, you're the king, you're the one that saved me, I am just your humble servant. Teach me how to forgive so that I can experience peace. That is learning to let go. So that way, other people don't get to change your identity. Yourself doesn't get to change your identity. God gets to define it. Because that is what he's teaching. If you want the peace that changes everything, you've got to learn to forgive you and others so that you can experience it in an incredible way. Think of it this way. Forgiveness is our armor to strengthen our peace. And forgiveness is not something we do one time. It is an ongoing thing. We put on this armor. It talks about this in Ephesians. It talks about putting on the armor of God. There's one section that talks about put on the helmet of salvation. Recognize when we talk about salvation, we talk about God changing your life. That is a moment of forgiveness. So when you put on that helmet, what you're doing is battling the thoughts that go here and the feelings going on in here and saying, as much as I feel like or I think I'm not good enough, that's not true because God's forgiven me and I'm his masterpiece. So I choose today to believe what is right. That's you putting on the armor. Although that person hurt me and I didn't deserve that, I choose to forgive them because God loves them. God made them. And I'm not going to let what they did take up space in my mind and my heart because I've got bigger things at stake today. So we forgive and we put on the armor. So here's a picture I want you to think of. Think of the fox and the hedgehog. I know this went turned to an interesting corner here, all right? But this is an old story, but one that kind of had two philosophies of thought. You've got the fox, who's crafty, who has all these different ways of solving problems, all these different ways of solving, ultimately his, I want the hedgehog dead. But that's ultimately what he's trying to solve. And so he comes up with all these different ways to deal with it, to catch him, and then here's the truth. The hedgehog knows only one thing, but it's a good thing, that he's got this special armor on him so that whenever he senses any danger, he just curls up. And so the fox tries all he wants, try to take out the hedgehog. But the hedgehog always wins. So let that sink in. The fox knows many things. The hedgehog knows one great thing. Play this out in this conversation. We have the evil one, Satan, Lucifer, who has a lot of crafty ways to try to take us out. He wants you to take your armor off. He wants you to not have peace. He wants you to not forgive. He wants you to go, actually, you'd be better in charge than God. He likes creating some monsters in your life. And so he comes up with all these crafty ways to do that. But God, in his loving and beautiful way of doing things with humanity, goes, but I've given you armor. So be the hedgehog. Put your armor on when you sense that danger. Curl up. Maybe not literally, but you know what I mean. All right? And learn to fight this. It's beautiful that God goes, okay, good luck. No, he says more than that. He goes, I've trained you. I've shown you how to overcome this. These hurts, these pains don't have to define you. That's never meant how he wanted you to live your life, to where you are defined by the pain and the turmoil. He said, I want to bring you peace, but you got to learn what forgiveness is and how powerful that armor is. Because the hedgehog does feel like the little scrawny thing, doesn't it? Some of us are like, I like to be a fox. But can we be honest? We're good at becoming foxes too, though. If we're not careful, we come up with all these crafty ways to deal with forgiveness or not forgiving. And we can justify it. What Satan wants you to become is become like me, become the fox. We sit in charge. We are the ones that get to control this. But foxing, the way they live their lives, it's exhausting. Hedgehog knows one great thing, and it's the only thing that matters. So can I show you an example of somebody who in their lifetime lived this out and learned to be a hedgehog? Mother Teresa. If you want to talk about somebody who had the it factor, Mother Teresa. What she did with her life, all of us go, man, that's incredible. It's awesome. But man, she wrestled with some tough things that I didn't realize were in her life. So I want to share a little bit of this story with her, with you. Her family lived in Albania. And what you got to know is after she started doing her ministry and traveling all over the place, there came a point to where there was this leader, Enver Hoxha. And Enver didn't like what Mother Teresa was doing, partly because she was bringing a lot of God, religion into just areas all around. And he's like, no, we are an atheist country. We don't want any part of that here. And so for many years, Mother Teresa tried to get back to her home country. Now, I remind you, this is where her mom lived. This is where her sister, a lot of family members lived there. But she was not allowed back in. This leader kept saying, no, no, yeah. This is a 20-year battle. Years upon years upon years. And she would try to go talk to the president of the United States, try to talk to foreign leaders, all that. Can you just help me get back to my hometown? That's all I want. Especially when that time came where her mother's health was declining. She's like, I just want to get home. I just want to see my family just to say, this might be the last time. And the answer was still no. She actually had to deal with her mom pass away and her sister passing away without being able to see them at all. But I want you to hear her response. Mother Teresa suffered from the decisions. She accepted that her dream of seeing her mother and sister had vanished. In 1974, her mother died. 2 years later, her sister died. And their deaths and the ability to not see them was devastating to Mother Teresa, but she did not make any public announcements or media appearances or express her discontent or revolt against the Albanian government. She never publicly criticized Hoxha. Mother Teresa believed that it was neither her calling nor her vocation to criticize governments. She was more interested in fighting against materialism and indifference. You want to talk about a hedgehog? She put on that armor. But her relationship with God, you see it. It's powerful. She recognized, I'm forgiven, so I will learn to forgive others. But in 1985, the leader passed away. And in 1989, she was finally able to go home. And the whole country was probably watching this because she went and laid flowers down at her mom's grave, her sister's grave, but then went to the leader's grave. Now put yourself, Mother Teresa's shoe, what would you have done with that grave? A lot of us have a lot of thoughts. But all she did was laid flowers right at his grave. This huge moment of forgiveness that began to change that whole country. Can we just recognize forgiveness is powerful? And we have a God who loves us enough and believes enough to go, I've given you authority to let it change your life. So, some quotes that I want you to hear from Mother Teresa. If you really want to love, we must learn how to forgive. She not only just, I love how simple she said it, but more importantly, her life represented it. And then she also said this, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. In 1 Peter, there's a scripture that I just wanted you to be thinking about and processing a lot. It says this, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. If we could learn to be those kind of people, learn to forgive and let the love cover, it could start changing so many people's lives, and the it moments would start happening all over the place. Start seeing it in yourself, start seeing it in your family, start seeing it in your community, in your church, all that. But it's got to look at us first. We may want it, but we go, what am I doing to bring it? Because what you do with forgiveness, it matters. So two questions. What are you doing with forgiveness? And maybe the second question is more the one that helps you. Are you feeding the monster? Or are you growing in God's peace? Now, I know in a conversation like this, some of you may be sitting there and going, I've never experienced God's forgiveness in that way. I knew it here, but I don't know if it's changed me here. And so I want to give an opportunity to where you can let the belief become reality for you, to where you recognize the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that was given to you so that you can give it to yourself and others. But some of you also, you know that and you've experienced it, but you've let the pain of yourself or the pain of others and you've not forgiven it, and now you've been stuck for years. And maybe this is the moment you're free again and God's sitting in this room with you going, let's go after peace. Peace I've given you. Let's forgive. So here's what I want to do. Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads. And if I described you at all, or if this sermon has hit home, I simply want you to pray this prayer. Let this be a moment where God starts to shape you and change you, and you learn to experience a peace far more greater than you have so far, because God is showing you what forgiveness truly looks like. So pray this prayer. Dear God, I pray that I would accept your forgiveness for all the sins in my life. God, may I experience peace as I do this, the peace that I've longed for and needed. And God, as I experience this peace, help me to forgive those who have hurt me. Help me to forgive myself. And God, I ask all of this in your name. And God, for all of us, may we simply learn to be hedgehogs. I know that sounds so crazy, but God, we just know one great thing, and that's you. That you've forgiven us, you love us, you care about us. And so God, help us to get rid of the monsters that get in the way. I know for me, control was a big one. Fear has been one. The pain has been one. But when we choose to forgive, there's a freedom. We break the prison walls that we've created around ourselves. And so God, I pray we would learn to put on that armor every day and learn that forgiveness is an ongoing everyday moment. So we can fight our thoughts, fight our feelings, and hold on to the truth that you've given us. God, I thank you so much for bringing us peace. I thank you so much for saving us. And I pray that all of us would learn to walk out forgiveness like you have forgiven us. God, we love you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.